their identity?
We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, just after 9:20 here, talking today with Alana Parker. She's a curator of design here at the Riley County Historical Museum. We're talking about Eureka Lake Resort and just kind of the history of that out there, which is on, I guess the site now is the Flint Hills Job Corps.
Correct. And unfortunately, there is no existing part of that original building that's standing. The building that's there now, after I mentioned C.P. Dewey, after he passed away, so there was a group of businessmen, which included Harry Wareham. They got together and they thought they would restart this resort. Of course, that kind of fell by the wayside. And so in 1906 is when that building was sold to the Independent Order of Odd Fellows and then the Rebecca's State Assembly. So it was used to house elderly individuals and orphans. And so that was an extended period of time in the history, too. And unfortunately, in 1916, a fire came through and demolished the remaining part of that original resort. But that building that's there today, that was built in 1916 to replace it, so that at least that part of history is still there. So when you go out there, and every time I can't help but when I drive past out that way heading west on K18, I'm always kind of gawking at the site, and it's been a little while since I've actually stopped there to look around a little bit. But like I said, I just love imagining how these individuals, you know, turn of the century, how they would have spent their summers, what they would have heard, how they would have dressed. We were talking a little bit earlier. Swimsuits were a little different then. Mm-hmm. We actually just removed a swimsuit from exhibit. It is completely wool, and it has little feet, so it's kind of like a long johns. So wool swimsuit with the feet, and then you put the shorts on over that. And this is a women's swimsuit, and then it has the top that goes on over that. And to imagine wearing that, so if you've ever felt wet wool, and then putting that in the summertime, imagining wearing that out at the lake, I think is a lot of fun.
No doubt, because, I mean, one thing that still existed back then was humidity.
Oh, and, my goodness, yes.
just to think, you know, we didn't have air conditioning back then, so how in the world did you cool off? I mean, could you cool off in wool in the water?
Well, I think that's why they had this resort was prided for. They had these beautiful verandas, and hopefully you get a little bit of a breeze, and you're next to the water, and beautiful trees hanging over these verandas. And like I said, I hope anybody listening, if you're interested, please look up the museum, come by and see some of these photographs. They're wonderful. And I think it's easy when we see photographs from the turn of the century. I mean, people didn't commonly smile in photographs for various reasons. And when you see photos of women I mentioned there was a toboggan slide that it kind of looked like a mini roller coaster that went into the lake, and you see these individuals having fun. They also had, which I thought this sounded like a lot of fun, they strung a wire across the bank out to the middle of the lake. So you could actually hang on this wire and swing out into the lake in 1901. So unfortunately, we don't have a photo of that, but we do have several stories.
Very cool.
About that.
Great. And I see there was a Eureka Lake Electric Park. Is that do you have some details on that?
Absolutely. And so that's kind of the part two to this story. So on the west side of the lake was the resort. And on the east side of the lake, which now K-18 actually cut right through that park, was Eureka Electric Park right there on the lake. And so this was during the time, this started in 1912 and opened in 1913, so a little after the resort time we're referring to. But this was based off of, at this time, you have more leisure time for individuals, where, you know, Manhattan received its first golf course just after the turn of the century. And so a little more leisure time, and that included this electric park, which in the name, because it had electric lighting. Manhattan actually received electricity lighting downtown in 1890. So here we're talking 1913. The point of pride was this. There were millions of lights all over this park, beautifully manicured gardens. They actually brought somebody in from Salina who did one of the gardens out in Salina. So what's really interesting, you can look at Google Maps at the site and you can still see the outlines of some of the walkways. And what's really neat about this, so the gentleman who started this electric park, his name was Will West, and he was the owner of the trolley line here in Manhattan. and that started in 1909. So with the trolley line, your main customers are those individuals. So it ran from the Union Pacific Depot to the college. So you have college students during the week, people who are getting to work. Well, on the weekends, the trolley line would sit vacant. Nobody's using the trolley line. So in order to encourage use for the trolley line, Will West constructed this electric park to get people out to Eureka Lake on the weekends, which is kind of fun to think about.
Yeah, no doubt. And so what activities do they do for fun out there?
So the main point that they had, some of the draws, they had a merry-go-round, which was a highlight. So you take the trolley out there, and when you arrived, and we do have photographs of this, there was a large wooden castle structure that would greet you when you arrived and you pulled up to this electric park. So you go in, and the other thing that's really amazing to me is they actually had 14 statues from the St. Louis World's Fair. So in 1904, so Will West was able to acquire these marble statues, and they're beautiful. They're huge. But the mystery is what happened to those statues after the park closed. But so it was just really a botanical garden almost. They had water piped in. So that's another interesting point, is to make sure, you know, the lake today, Eureka Lake, if you go out there, there's not, you know, to imagine that there was 40 feet of water there at one point. It's kind of hard to imagine. So Will West actually had water pumped into the lake to make sure that it was accessible for people to go fishing and swimming, and then had water piped through the trees. So it had little fountains that there's still one there you can see. Now, I'm not encouraging people to crane their necks as they're driving by, but you can still see, they called it the Fountain of Youth. And it's just a simple little font. And then the tree, it had a little knob on the edge of it that's now grown over the pipe. So, which, like I said, especially in the wintertime, you can still see it from the road there.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. I mean, kind of an early day, like a modern day Disneyland almost.
Kind of. Well, and that's, they didn't have, you know, you think of amusement parks. It was just a really nice, quiet place. Picnics, I will say baseball games. Baseball was very big out at the electric park as well. And of course, Junction City, the rival. So it's kind of fun in the newspaper to see them jabbing at each other about the games. And I can't believe I forgot to mention, one of my favorite activities that occurred out at the electric park is auto polo.
Okay.
So if you know what polo is on a horse, imagine playing polo in an open vehicle and you're going about 30, 40 miles per hour. Somebody's driving and then somebody's got their polo mallet and they're playing polo in an automobile.
Holy cow.
So they would also do that out there as well, which was a draw.
And when you're talking vehicles here, this turn of the century, they must have been kind of primitive vehicles here.
Absolutely. And in fact, it was the vehicle that kind of did away with the trolley car or the trolley line. The trolley line lasted, so it was 1909 to 1927, and so that's where you start getting more roadways through Manhattan and more vehicles. So that really took a hit for the trolley lines. And in addition to that, of course, World War I. So 1918, you start seeing shortages of electricity when they're trying to power Fort Riley, which of course would take away from the trolley lines. And then coupled with, so 1918 also is that influenza pandemic here in, well, across the world, but especially, you know, here you can look at in Manhattan, people were forbidden to congregate on the trolley cars. So that really took a hit to the trolley lines as well. So it's a lot of interesting pieces that it's amazing with history how it's one thing affects the other and it's kind of this ripple effect. But like I said, neat to think about people getting on that trolley line and heading out to the lake for the summertime.
And back in those days, compared to where it's at in relations to Manhattan, was that, I don't think Manhattan had probably grown that far west yet.
Oh, no, no. That would have been a little bit of a trip out there. Like I said, it was about 4 or 5 miles as it is today, of course. But getting out there so that you had the trolley lines. And I didn't mention what C.P. Dewey had available. He had tally-ho coaches. So that's something else that's fun to read about, these tally-ho coaches. You would fit about 10 people inside the coach. So it kind of looks similar to a stagecoach. You could fit about 8 people on the roof.
Nice.
So if you look at a photo of this, it's just amazing. And in the paper, they talk about Stag Hill and how, you know, dangerous it is going around there, and that two of these tally-ho coaches could barely pass without scraping hubs. And there was a gentleman, his name was Harold Munger, and he worked out at Eureka Lake, and he talks about, so they had the driver for these tally-ho coaches. Next to him was a responsibility. There was somebody was in charge of blowing a horn to let people know up ahead, because if they had a group of men, they would tell them to let the horses out and just go hauling out to Eureka Lake. So they had somebody in charge just to let people know that this tally-ho coach was coming. So like I said, it's fun to think about a group, you know, 18 people packed into this, essentially this kind of rudimentary stagecoach heading out to Eureka Lake. And you've got to have somebody sounding the alarm when you're coming. It's kind of fun to think about.
Yeah. Gosh, and what if the horse gets spooked, or you know, you're riding up top there and you fall off?
There could be all kinds of problems.
That's all I can think about is falling off the top of that thing. Well, it sounds like it was a lot of fun here. Let's take another break here. We'll talk a little bit more about some interesting history here in Raleigh County when we return on News Radio KMAN.